Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, July 19th, 2017. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today my guest is author Dara Nicole Walker, who has published 4 books, and her latest is entitled In His Shadow. And here's a little bit about Dara Nicole Walker. She is an author, speaker, inspirational blogger, and advocate for teens and young adults. Her published works include She Is But He Ain't, Called Out, The Urban Girl's Guide to Etiquette, and her newest release is In His Shadow. Mrs. Walker loves to work with youth and understands what they need from adults such as herself: support, understanding, wisdom, and love. Born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, she has worked with various youth and women's organizations in the Metro Detroit area, assisting in developing programs and activities to build self-esteem, facilitate group discussions, and provide resources and opportunities for them to develop their gifts and talents. The MBA graduate's mission is to reach as many young women as possible to help them understand their worth and develop a healthy self-image. She started her own nonprofit organization, the Urban Rose Foundation, in 2012, which assists young girls between the ages of 12 to 18 with life skills, interview and resume preparation, as well as financial etiquette and training. And I want to welcome my guest today, Dara Nicole Walker, to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Dara Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How are you? I can hear you.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great, great, great. So, Dara Nicole, let's start the conversation focusing on your new book, In His Shadow. What is this all about?
Yes. So, well, one, thank you for having me on the show. I do really appreciate that.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Yeah. So I write for youth, young adults, and teens. So I wanted to do a book that was focusing on a youth that wasn't necessarily faith-based. A lot of my books are faith-based, and I think sometimes you want to be able to relate to everyone. So this book actually follows the life of a young girl. Her name is Talia, and she has a twin brother. Her mother is a Christian. Her brother is a Christian. Her father is a Christian. So everyone around her is a Christian. But for herself, she pretty much questions that. And through the book, she really understands why her parents' faith and the people around her have that faith, because not only does it provide them a sense of hope, but it also gives them guidance on daily decisions. And as we all know as adults, the daily decisions that you make end up being, you know, the consequences that you have to live with for the rest of your life. So the book is, I think it's a great novel for people who want to kind of see someone play out certain decisions that they may necessarily not agree with, or that they may agree with and see the ultimate consequences of how it works out.
Ah, wow. So that's interesting. And I think it's good that you wanted to provide a different perspective for young people. You said most of your books are faith-based, and this one is a little bit of a shift from that, a slight shift. So was there anything that happened or any conversation that you had with somebody or something somebody wrote to you that made you want to shift the focus or the perspective in your writing for your particular age group? Because that's questioning your faith is a big thing, you know. So, was there any kind of catalyst that led you to want to write that particular story?
Well, I think it was just life experience. I've grown up around a lot of people who were in the church. And as you become an adult, you start to work around people and develop relationships with people who don't necessarily have the same beliefs or the same understanding or the same background as you. And that's always great, because you're able to see a different perspective of life and really be able to learn from each other in different types of areas. And I think that with me just becoming more of an adult, and I think that the world has changed, obviously, from when I was a teenager, you're just dealing with a lot of different perspectives, and you're able to hear those perspectives more more abruptly, more aggressively because of social media, because of the internet. Mm. You know, when I was a teenager, we didn't even have cell phones. So, you know, there's so many different things coming from different areas for youth now. So I think that just having that different perspective is always great.
Right, right. So I know you work with teens and young women. Is there anything in particular that you're finding that has really changed? Because you did mention, you know, just a few minutes ago of, you know, things that were different from when you were a young lady and a teen. Is there anything that you're finding in your work with young ladies that is drastically different than from when you were a teen, aside from the social media and the cell phone aspect?
Well, one thing that I find that I think has always been there, but now it's a little bit worse, is the self-confidence of youth. I think that social media is a tool because you're able to see, you know, you can see what Puerto Rico looks like and not leave your desk. You can see what Spain looks like. You can see, you know, different restaurants and different things of that nature. But then you also have this idea that, you know, people are comparing themselves online. So you have teenagers that see other people that look like them, and they're like, oh, wow, she lives this type of life. She looks like this. She has access to this. You know, you didn't see those things, you know. I was talking with a friend the other day, and I was saying, you know, there have been basketball wives and housewives for years and years and years, but now we're able to actually see a day in the life of how they live. We're able to see how they dress, how much money they spend. And that can always cause, you know, an issue with self-confidence. And I think that, you know, we have to understand that we are made in God's image, and we have to be happy with what we have, where we are, and if we desire more, then we have to do what it takes to get those things and just really know that our steps are ordered.
Right. And people, that's a hard thing to come by. So what I'm hearing you say is that you're finding that issues of self-confidence are a bit at jeopardy because of the comparisons that you can make against somebody else on a social media and even, you know, through reality TV.
Absolutely, yes.
Right, right, yes, yes. Yeah, that's an excellent point. And so, and I know the book In His Shadow is a book of fiction, and you mentioned a little bit of the lessons, but what are some of the lessons that you can pull out and really highlight for us from the book?
Well, one, without kind of spoiling the story.
Yeah, we don't want you to do that.
One is definitely, I would say, about friendship and character. Mm. So really being able to be a friend. I think sometimes we don't know how to be a friend to someone. We don't know how to trust. We don't know how to believe, lean on, and rely on a friend. And sometimes that can be, you know, detrimental to whatever situation we go in because we need each other, right? So I think that's one lesson that you learn in the book. There is a sisterhood within the book. You know, it's three girls. They've been in high school for 4 years, and they've been friends for an extended period of time. So I think that is something that's really a lesson in the book. I would also say another lesson would be judging people by their actions and not by their words, especially boys and men. I think that young girls can definitely be swayed by the charm of, you know, a young gentleman. And I think that we have to go by their actions and their character and how they treat us as a friend, you know, and go from there. So I think those are two big lessons that if I was a teenager, I would pull from this book.
Right, right. That's so interesting that you mentioned the friendship aspect. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, I have a friend that I have from since middle school, and she moved away. And so we have kept in contact through the years, but she was just in town yesterday, and we visited, and we just reveled in the longevity of our friendship. And the thing that you mentioned about friendship is that it goes two ways. It goes both ways, right? You have to be able to be a friend and accept a friend and trust and be trusted.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like the friendships that you talk about in your book have those aspects, because it takes those things to have friendships that do extend through the years.
Yes. And really knowing when to, there are some things that you and your friend, they've never left, you all.
Mm-hmm,
there's certain secrets and certain, and when you build that type of trust, there's a certain vulnerability that falls within there. Right. So
right,
I'd be
right.
vulnerable with you about a situation that I may be going through, and I'm trusting that you're not going to tell anyone. So then your character has to step in and say, even if someone asks me about this situation, I'm still a locked vault, so to speak. So.
Right.
Absolutely. I think that that's so important. I mean, for young adults, for adults, for anyone.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And so I think now, if you are ready, if we can hear a short excerpt from In His Image.
Yes, absolutely. So this is from the beginning of the book. I can set the scene for you a little bit. My character, like I said, she's a twin, but in this story, it's the middle of the night, and it's her mother and her father talking.
Okay.
My mom's screams from the bathroom startled me out of my sleep. My eyes shot open, and all I saw was darkness. It had to be the middle of the night. I sat up quickly when I heard the branch from the old oak tree swing violently against my window. The wind was so loud, I could hear it whistling through the leaves and the trees outside. I rolled over and saw that it was 2:30 a.m., and my heart fell right into my stomach. I wiped the crust from my eyes, pulled myself out of bed, and cracked my bedroom door open. I peeked my head out the door, looked to the left directly into the bathroom, and immediately lost all feeling in my limbs. My legs collapsed beneath me, and I gasped at the sight of my father, with blood all over his shirt and a gun to his head. Giant teardrops poured from his eyes as he sat in the corner of the bathroom, shaking and holding tightly to the gun. He was leaning against the tub, staring straight up at my mom. He looked like he had been in a fight. His eye was black and swollen, and he was sweating. At first, I couldn't tell from where the blood on his shirt had come, but as I looked closer, it seemed to be dripping from his busted mouth. My mom stood at the bathroom door trembling, trying to talk my dad out of committing suicide. Ben, don't do this. It's not worth it.
Wow, Dara. Now that, I'm going to say, as you were reading, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is such a severe, serious situation that you've written, but it's the reality in some young girl's life. And that is you wrote it so vividly that I could see it in my head. And yes, yes, yes. And so just walk us through that a little bit. I mean, like, where did you have to go inside yourself to be able to portray that particular part of the story? Because like I said, that's such a severe situation. It's not lightweight. Nothing lightweight about that.
Right, nothing about that. So, I've worked with a lot of teens over the past 10 years, and what I've realized is that a lot of them dealt with things that I never could have experienced, that I could have dealt with. And I think that a lot of them hold that in. And so when you're talking to a teen about one issue, sometimes that's not the issue. There's a root issue or there's a root cause, right? And so being able to figure out the root cause of their trauma or the reason why they may have an attitude or the reason why they're not vulnerable or they're not nice or they're not happy, being able to find that root is the biggest issue, because we can always medicate, the, you know, okay, you don't smile. Okay, I'll just smile every time I come to class. You know, I'll smile every time mm-hmm. I do this project, or I'll be polite. But at the end of the day, that only changes your response to me. That doesn't change the inside of you and deal with the issue that you need to be resolved. So I wanted her to have to deal with something and work through it throughout the book from the beginning to the end. So at the end, you know, you can see the resolve that she had to have within her heart about the situations that she dealt with.
Okay. Well, yes, I understand that, and I hear that. That's a wonderful jumping off point that you brought up there. And I just have to say that this is Michigan Literary Network Radio, and my guest today is Dara Nicole Walker, author of 4 books. And today we're talking about her latest book, In His Image. That's what we have been talking about. And that was the wonderful, wonderfully serious and vivid excerpt. And I'm sure that as you said, you work with so many teens, and they can relate to situations that you pulled out from that excerpt. So thank you so much for that. But now I want to focus on Dara Nicole Walker, the writer. And one thing I like to ask many of my guests is, why are you a writer? I mean, what is it about writing that is the thing for you to do?
I love writing because it takes you to a different place, right? So mm-hmm. when you're writing, you're creating a story, and, you know, you're creating characters, and it's therapeutic for me. It takes me out of where I'm at, and it's just something that's yours that you've created, and no one can take that away from you. So any story that you've created, any character that you've created, that's solely your baby. And I think that's mm-hmm. what I mostly enjoy. I love being creative, so I've written mm-hmm. a lot of stories that I haven't published, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, I just enjoy it so much. So.
Right. And so for those stories that you haven't published, what do you think you're going to do with them?
I know, right? That's the next question. I think that
yeah.
sometimes they're just good writing exercises. You know, they mm. kind of help you mm-hmm. Be creative. And it was just for, sometimes they could be just for that moment. Sometimes they can be stories that you, you know, incorporate other parts of the story into. I have one story where I took the mom from a story that I didn't publish, and I took her character and I put it into another book. So I already had an idea in my head what she looked like because I had already kind of written about her, but I just put her into a different
mm-hmm.
story.
So mm-hmm.
I just love it.
Now, you know, they say, you know, in the writing community, in the industry, write every day. Do you write every day?
I don't. I want to be completely honest.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for. Please be honest. Uh-huh.
I wish I did. I do say, you know, people ask me about writing and they say, like, how do you do it? And, you know, I at least try to do something towards my book. So I know that, you know, Monica Jones, I know she's a friend of the show. And that was one thing that she told me when I first started writing. She said, just do something towards your book every day. So if it's doing some research, if it's reading through what you've previously written, whatever it may be, you know. So I do try to do that. But sometimes I just, you know, I don't have the time. I don't have 15 or 20 or 30 minutes to steal away to write. So.
Right, because you're a mom and you're a wife, right?
Yes, and I just finished school and I work a full-time job, so this is really just something that I enjoy doing.
Right, okay, so when did you know that you absolutely wanted to be a writer?
My senior year in college, I took a creative writing class, and it was just the most fulfilling class I'd ever taken. I remember in high school, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any type of electronic equipment, so we actually had to, like, write pen and paper, right? So I had a friend in high school, and we would write stories. So she would start the story, and then the next hour she would give it to me, and I would write the next part. And then the next hour I would give it to her. And then by the end of the day, we would have, like, a short story. And I enjoyed that. Like, that was so fun to me. And then once I got to college, I knew I wanted to do something with writing, but, you know, it just never materialized. And I just knew my senior year in college, I was going to write a book. And so I did it.
Yeah. you wanted to, and you did it. And I imagine, you know, that getting it done was such a big sense of accomplishment for you, you know, after coming out of college.
It was. I wrote the book in college, but I didn't actually publish it to a couple years later. And I was just really enjoying just learning the process. I mean, and you would know, Andrea, like the process for writing and publishing your own book in 2004 is totally different from now, you know. So just learning the process, learning what it takes, how much it costs, you know, all of that was just something that was really enjoyable for me. So I enjoyed the whole thing. So.
Yes, I understand that. I've got to be winding down the interview a little bit, but just a couple of more questions. And turning back to your book, In His Shadow, do you have any book events coming up where people can come out and meet you and get a copy of the book signed and all of that?
I don't have any book events scheduled as of now, but I will be at the National Black Book Conference in October in Houston. I will be there.
Okay. Excellent. Congratulations for that. Okay, so
October
is the time. Yeah. And so how can people find you online and buy your book, because it is available for purchase now?
Yes. So you can go to Amazon.com right now, and you can purchase all of my books there. I do have a website with a blog. It's DaraNicole.wordpress.com. And then I'm also on Facebook at Author Dara Nicole. But you can purchase all of my books on Amazon.
Okay, great. And last question. From reading in your bio, you have a passion for helping young women, and this has pretty much been the strain of the conversation throughout our conversation here about your love and your passion for helping young women. Why have you made that your focus?
I just believe it's something that drives me. I think that the things that affect us in our youth are what kind of perpetuate throughout our life. So if we deal with self-confidence issues at 7 and 8 and 9, or if we deal with bullying or whatever the situation may be, traumatizing situations when we're younger, if there's not a seed of you're great, you know, put into you, or a seed of you can do anything that you want to do, or a seed of you're beautiful just the way that you are, you know, it's harder to kind of fix a situation when you're 40 as opposed to when you're 14. And so I think that really being able to touch young women and young adults and let them know that they're perfect just the way that they are, and just really encouraging that. The world tells us enough that we're not enough, you know. So just being able to do that is just a passion for me and a drive for me. So however I can do it, you know, that's my goal.
Right. Yeah. So it's like you're dropping the seeds now in these in the young ladies so that they can grow to be better women, and that's what you're doing, dropping those seeds in them.
And they can overcome those objections. So once you get to be 16 and someone tells you, oh, you know, you're not beautiful, in the back of your mind, you're like, I've been told I'm perfect since I was 5. So what you're saying is not true, you know, as opposed to receiving it.
Yes, absolutely. That's a wonderful point. And Dara Nicole, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. I'm so glad we had this opportunity to talk. I enjoyed the conversation. And, next book, we'll have you back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. So you have a good rest of your night.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that is it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you again to Dara Nicole Walker for being my guest today. You can find her on Facebook as author Dara Nicole and at her website at daranicole.wordpress.com. And that's DaraNicole. Please check in with her, find out what she's doing and when she will be having something in the Detroit area where you can come out and meet her and buy her book. But you can definitely buy her book now from Amazon, and that book is In His Shadow. And remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com and on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff with my guest, Fiat Collins, to talk about her literary life. She's doing some great things in writing and in working with youth. This has been Andrea Daniel for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you out there so much for listening in. I really appreciate you for being there. So I want you to have a good rest of your day and live a good story. And if you are so inclined, write about it. Thank you so much. Good night.